Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2471, with a release date of Friday, March 7th, 2025, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. A survey reveals some important trends in Brazilian amateur radio. Huntsville's new Museum of Communications and Technology is open, and the founder of the Hurricane Watch Net becomes a silent key. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2471 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, amateur radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. And now reporting from Valparaiso, Indiana, here's Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
Our top story takes us to Brazil, where a recent survey is providing a detailed look at the trends among hams in South America's largest nation. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, shares some of its findings.
An important snapshot of the state of amateur radio in Brazil has provided the National Ham Radio Society and the telecommunications regulator with insights into relevant trends. The sampling of 940 hams in 27 states and 350 cities was conducted in May 2024 by Guillermo Crimerius, PY2BIL, a member of the board of the São Paulo chapter of LABRE, the Liga de Amadores Brasileiros de Radioemissão. Guillermo told Newsline that the findings are also being shared with the regulator, Anatel. He said the findings held no surprises, but many details were nonetheless significant. Brazil's ham radio community remains predominantly male, with women comprising only 2% of the hobby. Survey results also showed that hams are an aging population in Brazil. 72% are between 40 and 70 years old, with most of them between 40 and 60. While the new licensees continue to join Brazil's ham community every year, there is low membership in clubs and associations, giving little opportunity for the networking and skills training usually provided by them. Guillermo writes, "This scenario has had an impact on new generations of hams who face difficulties in learning the essential technical matters and especially the operational and cultural activities." For a full copy of the report, which is downloadable, visit the link in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
We remind our listeners that young hams who live in the continental United States have an opportunity to make news, if they aren't already doing so, by being a recipient of this year's Amateur Radio Newsline Bill Pasternak Memorial Young Ham of the Year Award. Consider nominating an amateur radio operator 18 years of age or younger, someone who has talent, promise, and a commitment to the spirit of ham radio. Find application forms on our website, arnewsline.org, under the YHOTY tab. Nominations are now open. We're accepting nominations through May 31st. Certain radio IDs that have been in use on the Brandmeister DMR network are going away later this year. CellMB KB3TZD explains.
The Brandmeister DMR network has announced that it is phasing out its support of certain radio IDs that do not comply with the Mobile Country Code or MCC numbering system. This means that by June, radio operators with certain DMR IDs will need to request new numbers to be assigned to their radios. The first phase of these changes will begin on the 1st of June, when Brandmeister will stop supporting 5-digit CAP Plus IDs. Starting on the 1st of January 2026, radios with 7-digit personal radio IDs that begin with the numeral 1 will also stop working on the network. In making this announcement, Brandmeister assured repeater operators that it will continue indefinite support of repeaters that have 6-digit radio IDs. Brandmeister said in its announcement in late February that this is an effort to address improperly numbered radio IDs, something Brandmeister has been trying to contain for 7 years. It said on its website, "The Brandmeister DMR platform is a constantly evolving system, requiring regular optimizations and maintenance to ensure its efficiency, reliability, and alignment with global open standards." New IDs can be obtained through radioid.net, For further instructions, visit the Brandmeister link that appears in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. This is Sel Emby, KB3-TZD.
A trio of beacons in Ireland have been taken out of service in preparation for being moved, as we hear from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
In Ireland, three beacons operating from a site south of Dublin have gone QRT to allow for their relocation. The EI4RF, EI1KNH and EI0SIX beacons have been part of what is known as the Kilmolin Cluster. They've been hosted by Paddy Geoghegan, EI5HS, who became a silent key last year. The beacons, which have a new owner, went off the air in mid-February and are expected to come back slowly, according to reports on Groups.io and the SW Elling Post blog. The EI4RF 4-metre beacon is expected to be the first to return, perhaps in May, just as the sporadic E season begins. The EI0SIX beacon is expected to follow sometime afterwards on 6 metres. However, it was unclear how and when service will be restored to the EI1KHN beacon, which operated on 40 and 60 MHz, and whether this beacon would need to be assigned a new call sign. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Students and faculty in India are celebrating the establishment of the first state-of-the-art shack on a West Bengal State University campus. Graham Kemp, VK4BB, tells us more.
Aliyah University, a state university that was created for the education of many of India's minority populations, is about to become the first university in West Bengal with its own state-of-the-art ham radio club station. The announcement was made in late February in connection with a seminar held on the Kolkata campus introducing students and faculty to various aspects of amateur radio. The one-day session held on the 24th of February covered emergency communications and radio technology and included hands-on experience for the estimated 250 attendees. It was led by members of the West Bengal Radio Club, the Indian Academy of Communication and Disaster Management, and organised by the school's Department of Electronics and Communication Engineering. A number of other schools have hosted similar amateur radio workshops throughout the region, which is a coastal area subject to violent storms and other natural disasters that rely on alternate forms of communication. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Hams will no doubt be among those visiting the National Association of Broadcasters annual trade show again this year, but something will be missing, as we learn from Ralph Squillaci, KK6ITB.
The annual trade show of the National Association of Broadcasters is welcoming industry professionals once again this year to Las Vegas in April. One traditional event will be missing from this year's show, however. There will be no separate reception for amateur radio operators. Hams, of course, are still welcome. Indeed, many broadcast professionals, especially those on the engineering side, enjoy an active and robust time on the air on the amateur bands. A posting on the Radio World website said that this year's ham reception was not on the schedule. The reception had been hosted for a long time by Bob Heil, K9EID, who became a silent key last year. The article said that organizers are hoping to, quote, reinvent the event for next year by exploring fresh partnerships and innovative ideas, end quote. In the meantime, licensed hams who work in the industry can still look forward to the usual opportunities for networking and learning about new technology. The NAB show takes place between April 5th and 9th at the Las Vegas Convention Center. This is Ralph Squillaci, KK6-ITB.
It's time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the WB3GXW repeater in Silver Spring, Maryland, simultaneously on Echolink Conference Server Node 6154, on Saturdays at 8 p.m. and Sundays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. In India, there is a new DX foundation that has lots of energy and ambition. and plans for a rarely activated island. We learn more from Jason Daniels of VK2 LAW.
It's still early in the game for the newly organized not-for-profit DX India Foundation, but the team has already announced ambitious plans to increase India's presence on the DX map. As part of its mission to activate rare iota islands, conduct DX expeditions, and provide DX and poacher chasers with a chance to work different entities in India, the team has its sights set on Anala Island, iota number AS169, which is near Mumbai. According to an announcement from the team, the island has had no amateur radio activity since 2006. Hams from the DX India Foundation have applied to use the call sign AU2M and hope to be on the air from the 29th of May through to the 1st of June. Later plans include a 10-day adventure to the Lakshadweep Archipelago off the coast of Kerala in southern India. The DX India Foundation has also established an online forum in groups.io to encourage a sense of international community for chasers and activators. In between trips, the Foundation's activity will be focused on training and mentoring other radio operators. This is Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
Huntsville, Alabama, home of the Huntsville Ham Fest, has a new way to celebrate technology and, of course, amateur radio. To welcome the museum and honor the spirit and advancements made in technology, Newsline is departing from the norm this week. This report is being read via artificial intelligence and a correspondent known as AI Drew.
On March 1st, the Signals Museum of Information Explosion opened its doors to what founders hope will be an immersive and hands-on environment for visitors. The museum, housed a short drive from where the Huntsville Hamfest is held each year, has an array of exhibits devoted to communications technology in all its forms throughout history. Amateur radio operators who are visiting will be particularly interested in the Ham Shack, a welcoming space for regional radio clubs and other radio operators to meet or work on building equipment. The museum also has an on-site radio tower. Whether you live in the area or plan to visit Huntsville this year, the museum will welcome you. Visit their website at signals-museum.org. This is AI Drew.
Atlantic hurricane season is still a few months away, but hams and forecasters will be going forward into this year's season without the man who created the hurricane watch net 60 years ago. He has become a silent key, as we hear from Randy Sly, W4XJ.
It can be said that the seeds of the hurricane watch net were planted in 1965 as Hurricane Betsy raged its way through the Bahamas, making landfall in the U.S. that September. Gerald Murphy, K8YUW, who was stationed by the U.S. Navy in Rhode Island at the time, was also handling messages and phone patches for the Intercontinental Amateur Radio Net. When hurricane-specific traffic started to overwhelm the regular net's messages on their 20-meter frequency, Jerry suggested that those messages be handled 5 kilohertz higher. Marcy Rice, KZ5MM, who was in the Panama Canal Zone, QSY'd with him up to 14.325 megahertz, and that was the genesis of the Hurricane Watch Net. The net has become the backbone of a robust communication system during storm season. Trained hams share advisories, data, and post-storm damage information in affected areas with national hurricane centers in the U.S. and, when needed, Canada. Jerry, who became a silent key on the 25th of February at the Ohio Veterans Home in Sandusky, leaves behind this vibrant legacy. He served as net manager from September of 1965 until February of 1988, staying on afterward as assistant net manager. Health issues compelled him to retire from the net in March 1991. The Hurricane Watch Net has been planning an on-air special event in September to mark its 60th anniversary. Net manager Bobby Graves, KB5HAV, told Newsline, quote, "I was hoping and praying Jerry would make it to see his creation's 60th anniversary this coming Labor Day. we will endeavor to make it even more special. End quote. Jerry was 88. This is Randy Sly, W4XJ.
In the world of DX, Chris, WA7RAR, is on the air until the 16th of March from Barbados, IOTA number NA-0021. He's using the call sign 8P9CB, operating single sideband and CW, on 20 through 10 meters. Some of his locations are POTA sites. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Rockwell, WW1X, is using the call sign VP5/WW1X from Providenciales, IOTA number NA002, in the Turks and Caicos Islands from the 8th through to the 15th of March. This is a QRP operation using only single sideband, although Rockwell has not ruled out the occasional use of FT8. QSL via Logbook of the World. Listen for Al Deer, PY1SAD, who is using the call sign 8R1TM from Georgetown, Guyana, between the 11th of March and the 26th of April. Al Deer is using CW, single sideband, and the digital modes on the HF bands. He is also operating via satellite. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Members of the Korean Amateur Radio League are on the air in March and April to celebrate the centenary of the International Amateur Radio Union. They are using the call sign HL100IARU. See QRZ.com for QSL details. We end this week's report with an alternate way in which some hams in New Zealand got to learn and practice CW while having real QSOs. We'll let Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, explain how it happened.
If you've ever wondered whether Echolink is a viable mode for teaching or learning CW, just ask Ted, ZL1BQA, who was proud to have logged a respectable number of CW contacts during the recent Jock White Memorial Field Day in New Zealand. Studying CW for almost a year with the Franklin Amateur Radio Club, Ted was able to restart his long-ago code skills in sessions led by the club president, Peter Henderson, ZL1PX. It was done over Echolink. Ted had enrolled last May along with three younger members who were first-time learners, Francois, ZL4FJ, Steve, ZL1TZP, and Steve, ZL1SPR. With only Ted able to copy Peter's signal over HF, the club followed a suggestion made by Gary, ZL1GAC, try Echolink, a computer-based ham radio mode that incorporates VoIP technology. Loading CW software onto his computer, Peter was able to send the code intended for each session, confident that everyone had an equal chance of copying clearly. Weekly sessions soon expanded to twice a week as the students concentrated on letters, then numbers, and eventually basic punctuation. After a break in the action, the club is back on Echolink with CW sessions three nights a week. As for Ted, he's on a roll. Peter told Newsline in an email that Ted has resumed making CW contacts on a daily basis on HF using the Vibraplex that once collected dust instead of QSOs. This is Jim Meacham, ZL2BHF.
Have you sent in your amateur radio haiku to Newsline's Haiku Challenge yet? Well, it's as easy as writing a QSL card. Set your thoughts down using traditional haiku format, a three-line verse with five syllables in the first line, seven in the second, and five in the third. Submit your work on our website at arnewsline.org. Each week's winner gets a shout-out on our website where everyone can find the winning haiku. With thanks to Amateur News Daily, Bobby Graves, KB5HAV, Brandmeister, David Behar, K7DB, DX India Foundation, Eddie Misiewicz, KB3YRU, EI7GI Blog, Guillermo Cremarius, PY2BIL, Millennium Post, Peter Henderson, ZL1PX, QRZ.com, the QUA newsletter, Radio World, shortwaveradio.de, the Shortwave Listening Post, the Wireless Institute of Australia, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer, nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news teams worldwide, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO in Valparaiso, Indiana, saying 73. As always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2025. All rights reserved.